Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Hey, my friends, this week we're going to be talking about what not to do for people experiencing grief or loss. Through the years of a cancer diagnosis and being a caregiver, a terminal diagnosis, widowhood, divorce, like grief and loss are not a stranger to me. And I have had the gamut of things that people have said that have been hurtful and then things that people have said that have been really helpful. And a lot of people have reached out to me through the years wanting to know, like, hey, what should I not say or what should I not do for the one that I love that's experiencing this grief and loss? So I'm going to give you some not to do's. And then if you are in this category of, man, if somebody has said hurtful things to me, somebody's done really hard things, hurtful things to me that it's hard to get over, I'm going to be giving you four things that I work with my clients on a weekly basis, being able to move forward past grief, loss, and hurt. So I'm going to give you four things that will help you if you're stuck in that hurtful zone. They're going to help move you forward as well. So two parts today. One, we're going to talk about what not to do or say for people experiencing grief and loss. And then if you have been on the other end of that hurtful statement, what you can do to get over that and not to get stuck in this victim offensive mentality and not be able to push forward and forgive people. So I'm going to give you my tips on that as my papers are falling to the ground right in front of me. All right, so we're going to be talking today about what not to do. So let's start this off with one of the most obvious, but people do it every day, is do not use cliche statements. Do not. I know you want to say they're in a better place, but that does not make us feel better because they are not in our place. So don't say that. Another one, everything happens for a reason. Really? I don't understand that reason right now, and all that does is really question my belief and faith in God and you as a friend. It's hard when you're not in a good place to be able to say and swallow the pill of that there's a reason that this is happening. That's hard to say. So everything happens for a reason isn't the best of cliche statements to give. Okay, we can do this all day long, and I have a previous YouTube video and you just see all of the comments and it's like, why are you saying that? So don't say it. Another one, they're in a better place. Well, they're not in my place, and that does not help me feel better. So don't say it. Another one, God will not give you more than you can handle. I disagree with that completely. From my experience in life, God does give you more than you can handle. Because in that, then you turn to Him for strength. You turn to Him for peace and comfort when there is none other to give it to you. For me, in my experience, God gives us more than we can handle and not the other. So when you say that in a cliche statement, it makes us, those experiencing hard times, it's not pleasant. So don't say that. Another one, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Really? All that makes me strong enough to do is like punch you in the face for saying that. And I know it's just like been programmed into our brain, right? Because there's a song on it, that don't kill you, makes you stronger. I mean, it's just something that you rolls off the tongue. But really try and take stock of when is appropriate to say that. And if somebody is going through something really hard, that does not bring comfort. Does not. Okay. Number two, do not try and relate. All right. Unless it is in your immediate family, like your mom, your sister, your sibling, do not try and relate. If it hasn't directly happened to you, don't imagine yourself in the same situation and then give us advice. Just don't. Just say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. That's amazing. That's great. But don't give us advice if you have not gone through it. People say all the time, I don't know how I could ever go through that. And it's like, really? You just do. How do we do it? I don't know how you do it. It's like, you just do it. What other option do you have? Like, you can't stop. You just go. You get up and you move forward. Another really hurtful comment that I got was, I would never remarry. I love my husband too much. Or I love my late spouse too much. I would never remarry. And it's like, what that says to me is, I love my husband or my spouse more than you do, and I would show it because I would forever remain a love martyr the rest of my life to prove on the invisible love-o-meter that mine is higher than yours. Like, that's offensive. Like, don't say that, please. That doesn't make us feel better. And when you say that, we don't feel the love. All right, number three, do not judge us, okay? Don't think, I read this in a book or I saw this in a movie, and this is how it goes. You wait X amount of this and you do this and then you'll be good. You'll get over it. Like, don't judge us. One of my very favorite quotes is from a grief, amazing grief giant, and his name's David Kessler, and I love him. And he says, quote, how long will you grieve? How long will they be dead? That's so true. I mean, it is so different for everybody. So what advice you think you need to give to a 65-year-old person that is experiencing grief and loss is not the same advice that you'll give to someone in their 30s. And you don't know that unless you've experienced the grief and loss. But I'm here to tell you, it's different for everybody. It is like a fingerprint. Not one's experience of grief and loss is the same. It might be similar, but not the same. What I remember standing in the funeral line, and again, people say the craziest stuff, and I'm going to give you some tips at the end of this on how to get over that and what has helped me. But, you know, standing there next to my sweet husband's body, and it's exhausting, and a family member came up, and a distant family member, and leaned in and said, well, how long are you going to be sad for? And I have a lot of words most of the time. And being a good Christian woman, like, there was some unchristlike things that I wanted to say to him later that night as I thought about it. But in that moment, like, I was stunned. Like, are people really thinking that? Like, how long are you going to be sad for? And I've noticed as I've, you know, we're coming up on 6 years, and my kids, you know, milestones, anniversaries, their own personal achievements or defeats, it ignites grief. Grief will never end. And that's why I love David Kessler's quote of, how long are you going to grieve? Well, how long are they going to be dead? Like, it's true. And don't judge us. Like, don't look at us and our lives and think we're not living up to what you assume or you think is the standard for grief, because there isn't. You just move through it in a way that works for you. And again, what works for one doesn't work for another. And what might be right for one might not be right for another. I teach a grieving course, and it's a 6-week course. And we talk all about grief and loss every week. And, you know, there is this, you know, the different emotions and the different stages of grief, but it's not sequential. It's not like these exact steps. And then you get to the end and it's like, da 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 da, you are now, congratulations, you've graduated from grief. It's like, you don't. It just changes with you as you change. So don't judge us. I mean, I remember us going out bowling after Clint had passed away and people were like, oh, they must have got over that fast. They're out having fun. And it's just like, wow. Like people, they don't know. What they say sometimes comes out of their mouth, and it's hurtful and it's mean. And just because we're smiling and having fun and might be out doing something doesn't mean that we go home and we don't cry in our private spaces. So everybody's going through something hard, and don't judge us. Four, I want to add, don't tell us about magical cures. And that was even before Clint passed to after he passed. I mean, don't you think if you're experiencing this disease or terminal diagnosis, you're not going to really delve into the internet and searching and doctors and holistic and all of your options? I mean, if I could get a dollar for every time someone said, hey, I got an oil that is going to help you have all of the cancer go away, or hey, if you juice or you have this diet, then everything will be gone. Like, this is a magical cure. You need to do this. And don't get me wrong, we tried a lot of different things, and I did try the oils, and I oiled him up at night, and I did all these different remedies. But you know, it's a bit insulting when, you know, I guess it depends on the heart. Like, listen to your heart. And if you really feel like, I really need to give them this information, then pray about it, think about it, and then it will be able to receive it in the spirit that you're giving it. But if it's like, oh, hey, did you hear about frankincense oil? It makes everything go away. They cured them, you know, like, I don't know. It's not very helpful. And think about it. You know, if it was you, how wouldn't you be trying everything you could think of? So I guess it's hard because you want to help and give people the information, but you want to be really careful that it's not flippant, that it's not like we wouldn't have thought about that before. And maybe we hadn't. But again, and that's where I like would trace it back to listen to your heart and be really thoughtful about it. And there's a lot of times, you know, that my sweet friends that do have, you know, that do have the oils, they came in such a great, amazing way. Were so kind and so helpful and weren't insulting or, hey, this will be a magical cure for everything. You know, like that wasn't the spirit in which they were giving their information. So again, just be prayerful about it. And you know, right? If somebody's, you can tell the difference when somebody is just patronizing you and giving you like flippant advice that's a little ignorant, or when somebody's really heartfelt. And that would be my advice, is just try to err on the heartfelt side. Okay. If you have experienced hurtful comments, we're going to talk about, and I mean, who hasn't? I mean, with grief and loss, there is a lot more that you experience, I think, in an open, wide way. But we're going to talk about how to get over the hurt, okay? And I work with my clients on the daily on how to get past grief and loss, how to move through it if you're stuck. And I'm going to give you guys four tips today that are going to help you. So if you have been offended, which who hasn't? If you have people saying not so nice things and you want to punch them in the face and you can't stand being around them, here are my four tips that are going to help you, okay? Number one, extend grace. It's hard Like, think of the times when you said stupid things and how bad you felt inside. Think of how much courage it takes to say something to somebody who is in an unsavory circumstance. It takes a lot of courage, even if they say something that's hurtful or stupid. It takes courage to say that. And Clint and I had to come to the realization, you know, that every comment, no matter how hurtful it might appear, it comes from a place of love. Like, it comes from the people who just don't know what to say, so they say hurtful, mean things. But you just need to have grace and give grace. And I always felt like for that one person who said something to me, that there were like 5 or 10 more people who didn't, because they just didn't know what to say. So they either avoided me or avoided my kids at school. Little Niska, she's in 6th grade, like after her dad died, she sat by herself for weeks. Everybody just dropped her like a hot flapjack, like didn't even look at her or talk to her. Like, don't do that. Don't just avoid us. So it really was almost this weird way of like, oh, even though that was hurtful, thank you for saying something to me. And so again, have grace. And what I say too is like, diarrhea of the mouth is a real thing. Like, sometimes people just open it up and just blah, 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 a bunch of shiz comes out. So just view it as that and give people a benefit of the doubt. Give people that grace. An awkward or failed attempt to help you. Okay? Would you get mad at your kid for falling if they're trying to walk? No. And that is what people are trying to do when they're giving you hurtful or maybe offensive comments. If they're in the spirit of really trying to help you, because there's those that aren't. So recognize their failed effort for what it really is. An attempt to help you from their perspective. And I know that's hard sometimes, especially when it is extremely hurtful. Or what about if it's a close family member or friend and you see them on the daily? That leads me into number 2. You need to share your feelings. Share your feelings. If that person is in your life for a reason, and they care about you and they love you, and they're saying things or have said things that are hurtful, share it with them. And if it doesn't make a difference, then talk to a trusted friend or a therapist. Like, get it out. If someone's offending you, get it out. And don't hold anything in. I've learned that so much. There's so much power in just sharing those inner feelings, because then it's not going to manifest later in trauma and other ways. And especially when I work with my clients in my business, what I do is helping people move through that. And again, this leads me to number 3. You're going to have, you know, people that accidentally say things, and then you're going to have the trolls. Okay. When my great grandma was a little girl, she'd tell me the 3 Billy Goats Gruff story. And they'd go clippity-clop over the bridge, and there was a big, mean, nasty troll under the bridge. And so sometimes you just have to avoid the trolls, right? There's going to be mean, nasty people. There are going to be people that want to come after you and just say hurtful things just because. And you need to avoid them and realize they're a troll. They're just mean. They're just nasty. They're not here to help me. They're just here to be hurtful. I remember, no lie, I had a comment on a YouTube video that a girl had said they respected a pedophile more than a widow or widower who remarried. I could not believe my eyes. Like, who in their right mind would write that? Let alone publicly put that out there and say that to somebody and have it be so hurtful and mean and horrific and heinous. Like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even I get comments here and there and people being mean and nasty and wanting to pull me down, but that was by far like that was one that was up there and I couldn't believe it. And then I just had to realize, like, that's a big nasty troll. Like, I don't care. There's going to be them. They're there. We just avoid them. Okay. Number four. This is my favorite step. This is the step I go to a lot of the times and almost on the daily, I say. My number four step is my help me Jesus step, okay? Help me Jesus. If you are experiencing just like a broken heart from somebody really hurting your feelings, you can turn to your higher power, whatever that looks like for you. For me, it's a loving Heavenly Father that I know is there for me. My Savior Jesus Christ that knows how I feel. How many friends or so-called friends of the Savior turned their back on him? I mean, even one of his disciples, right? Completely betrayed him for 20 pieces of silver. Like, he knows hurt. He knows betrayal. Like, those very streets that they were throwing the palm leaves out and he was walking on, you know, less than, a week later, he was carrying a cross and they were spitting on him and saying horrible, horrific things. Like, he gets pain and he gets sorrow. So whatever that higher power for you is, reach up and reach out because it is there to help you. It is there to give you strength when you have none of your own. And people, you know, Bauer power is what me and my kids say all the time and those who know us, but it's like Bauer power, anybody can have that because it's the power of our Savior Jesus Christ to get through the hard. In Mosiah chapter 24 in the Book of Mormon, verses 12 to 15, it said, "And Alma and his people did not raise their voices to the Lord their God, but they did pour out their hearts to him. And he did know the thoughts of their hearts." So he knows, even if you're not saying it, if you're thinking it and feeling it, he knows. He continues on in 15. "And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up with ease the burdens. And they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord." So did he take away their problems? Did everything disappear and get great and right? No, I experienced this. Clint and I, you know, I've been Christian my whole life and I felt, okay, you know, we'll just pray harder. We need to have more faith and then he'll get better. And then we had to get to the point that it was like, "Thy will be done. Help us be strong. Help us have strength." And he got worse, but we got better. We got stronger. How is that possible? That makes no sense. But it does make perfect sense that God will help push us through and give us that strength and hope, even in the most dire of circumstances. And I felt that. I felt that comfort and that peace and the knowledge that, wow, like, I'm not doing this. I don't know how I can do this. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting some prayers must be working. And even though the miracle that I desperately wished and prayed for didn't happen, he didn't get better, but there were so many other miracles that I saw. And when you're yoked to that greater power, he will help you. In the Bible, Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You deserve to be loved and treated with kindness, with love and respect. And if you're not, maybe you need to do some pivoting in your relationship. If you need extra help in your life, if you're feeling like, man, I am stuck in certain areas, I would love to help you. You can check out my website, CamilleBauer.com, and you could see my gold level mentoring program. And it is one of the greatest joys of my life to be able to help people get through their hard times and find their peace and happiness and comfort. And so anyway, I hope today it helped you think twice maybe about something that you should or shouldn't say. And if you have had those comments come your way, I'm grateful that it's been a learning experience and you're able to take my four tips and help you push past the hurt and not be offended. No matter what anybody says or does, if you use those four things, you're gonna be able to push forward and let it roll off your back and move through it. So I love you guys. I can't wait to talk to you next week. And bye.